In all team sports, at the conclusion of the season or at the conclusion of the tournament, they'll give out awards, and one of the awards that they give out is the most valuable player. The one that was there for his team in clutch times. If it's football, if it's baseball, if it's soccer, if soccer is a sport, if it's basketball, hey, they give out the most valuable player award to give some accolades to that player that went above and beyond for the team. Tracy and I, on Friday night, we were eating at one of our local restaurants. And once we sat down, I noticed that they have the employee of the month hanging on the wall. And my thought was, yeah, there is her picture, but I want to know what she did. Did she get here early? Did she stay late? Did she just show exceptional customer service? Did she just make sure everything was, that you got a good sanitary score over there? Oh, because I care about that sanitary score. Did she make sure you got, what did she do to get employee of the month? Or did you just have to put somebody's picture up there? We come to Philippians chapter 2. And this guy by the name of Epaphroditus, if they had a church member of the month, or if they had a most valuable player for the church, Epaphroditus would have got it. Wonderful example of what a Christian is. He was selfless. He was serving, willing to play second fiddle and not get all the accolades, because he didn't need accolades on earth. He wanted them in heaven. The word Epaphroditus, as far as I know, no one in this room has named their child Epaphroditus. You say, what does Epaphroditus mean? It means favored of Epaphrodite. Epaphrodite was the Greek goddess of love. So Epaphroditus was born a Gentile, and his parents named him after this Greek goddess of love. And evidently, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and was characterized, his name later came to be known as loving, encouraging, or charming. That's what Epaphroditus came to be known as. Now here's what I love about it. Far as we can tell, he never preached a sermon. Far as we can tell, he never performed a miracle. Far as we can tell, he didn't even teach a Sunday school class. You know that junior boy Sunday school class that always could use one more teacher and one more bouncer? He didn't even do that. He just served. And now several hundred years later, we still blessing us. Now, unlike that employee of the month at the restaurant the other night, we know what Epaphroditus did. And I want to show you three qualities of Epaphroditus and of every great Christian. Sermon, I'm entitling an MVP church member. And I just want to challenge all of you. We are grateful that you're in church. Even to those people in the cheap seats on the top row of the balcony. I was telling these ladies in Sunday school this morning, sitting way back on the back row of the Sunday school class, we're just glad you came to Sunday school. Even if you're going to sit back there in the smoking section, we're just glad you came. So on the top row of the balcony, we're glad you're here. But what this community needs is some sold-out Christians who are going to live for Jesus and share their faith when the times are good and when the times are awful. That's what Epaphroditus did, and that's what this church doesn't have enough of. We need some more. So know that this is not going for the guy or the girl sitting beside you. This is for you. And what would God have you step up and start doing, or maybe do a little bit more. So there are three qualities of this great Christian by the name of Epaphroditus. First one, notice Epaphroditus' commitment. You're in Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. And then Paul gives five qualities of this guy, Epaphroditus. He says, number one, he's my brother. He says he's a sibling. We're from the same spiritual bloodline. My brother resounded with affection. He literally said, my dear brother. The way we would say it in our vernacular, my brother from another mother. Hey, we may not have the same father, but we're family because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him. Now that's what Jesus does to us. He makes people of all different interests and all different backgrounds family. And when you came in here today, you have different interests. I was roughing up on some people wearing all their sports clothes to church. And I'm like, what's up with that Duke stuff? And what's up with that? We like different sports teams. We like different cars. All the four people will raise their left hand. All the Chevrolet people would raise their right hand. All the Dodge people would just cross their arms, put their head down. Hey, we have different interests. We like different kind of foods. We're just different people. But Jesus makes us family. And Paul says, hey, no Epaphroditus? He might have been a Gentile. He might have been named after some Greek goddess, but he's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and we're family. He says he's a sibling. Secondly, he says he's a servant. You see what it says? My brother and companion in labor. He's affectionate partnership in work. Paul and Epaphroditus were friends who worked together for God. Are you a worker for the Lord? Are you known to be a worker for God? Last night we were at an event and you had a bunch of guys from Beulah. It wasn't even a church event, a bunch of guys from Beulah just serving. And I was just walking in, cutting up with them. And you had some of them that were doing this task and some of them doing this task and some of them doing this task. And you had a couple of them just telling them what to do. But we need, and I'll let you figure out who is doing what. Hey, we need people that work. Now, we'll have different roles. We'll have different responsibilities. Some will be better at this task and better at that task. But for any church to be successful, any organization to be successful, you need people that will roll up their sleeves and just get her done. Whatever it takes, we're going to work and we're going to get it done. He was a sibling. He was a servant. Thirdly, he was a soldier. See what it says? And fellow soldier. They fought spiritual enemies together. Maybe Paul was thinking of the old Imperial Guard, where they would stand side by side, they would interlock their shields together, they would hold the shield with one hand, they would hold the sword with another hand, and they would fight together. In this day that we're living, we need some men, we need some ladies that become family, that work together, and we fight together as well. We fight for our kids. We fight the enemy from taking our kids, from doing damage in this community, and we war in prayer as soldiers. Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of soldier are you? Are you a good soldier, a mediocre soldier, or a great soldier? He's a soldier. Back of the verse. He says, he's a messenger. You see that? But your messenger. person who was sent by the church, really, on an errand for the church. Epaphroditus, you could say, was an errand boy for the church. He didn't preach. He didn't write anything. We can't find where he ever taught anything. He just served. You need something done, I'll do it. You need an errand run, I'll run the errand. I just want to serve God, and I want to serve God's people. And Epaphroditus said, I don't need any glamour. I don't need any praise. Just let me serve. Look, there's one more. Your messenger, Paul's talking here, and he that ministered to my, it doesn't say my needs, my wants. He just served me. Now, where is Paul? Paul was in prison. Their prisons were nasty. And yet Epaphroditus would say, hey, Paul, I hear you like Little Debbie's. Those Valentine Little Debbie's zebra cake things that are strawberry. I hear they make your tongue slap your brain. Hey, I'm going to go to Dollar General and I'm going to buy you 2 boxes and I'm going to bring it to you here in prison. That's what it says in the Greek, I think. He ministered to his, not his needs, to his wants. Why? You need some people in life that they just come, not just to do the bare minimum, to go above and beyond, and just to serve. Remember, Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life away, to give his life a ransom for many. And what are we supposed to do? Not come to church to be ministered unto, but to come to church to minister and to give our life away. So how you doing in this area of ministry? Of servant? You know, just find me a spot where I can serve the Lord. What would God have you to do that you're not doing now? Number one, Epaphroditus and his commitment. Number two, notice Epaphroditus and his compassion. Look at verse 26. And he longed after you all and was full of heaviness. Full of heaviness is the idea of mental and emotional anguish. Same idea, same word was used of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says he was very heavy when he was facing the cross. So Epaphroditus, the servant, Epaphroditus, the brother, Epaphroditus, the minister to my wants, Epaphroditus was very troubled, burdened down. Why? Look at the verse. Because ye had heard that he had been sick. What burdened him was not that he was sick. Now, full confession, when I'm sick, and thank the Lord, I'm not sick very often, and I'm a live wire most of the time. But when I am sick, put me in the room, close the door, turn the shades down, and leave me alone. Don't look at me, don't talk to me, don't breathe on me. Give me some prescriptions that will knock me out, and when I wake up, the sickness is gone. I don't want to talk, I don't want to entertain, I don't want, just leave me alone. Look at him. While his heaviness was not that he was sick, but that the church was burdened because he was sick. He's like, I don't want you worried and fretting about me. I'm a nobody. So he is tore up. He was in pieces, not that he was sick, but that they were tore up about him being sick. Look how bad sick he was. Verse 27. For indeed, he was sick nigh unto death. Epaphroditus was concerned, despite his sickness. He was still sold out to God. He was still serving, but he was concerned not for himself. that they were torn up about it. So I want everybody to listen to me right now. Next Sunday, if you wake up and you're sick, stay home. Don't come to church and spread your germs. Now, a lot of times you're not going to hear a preacher tell you to stay home and not come to church. If you're sick, don't come spread your germs. Just stay home and take some Alka-Seltzer or NyQuil or DayQuil and just get better and then come to church. So I'm not telling you to come to church when you're sick. But he, who is this? He was indeed sick, nigh unto death. This man was a lay person in the church. He wasn't the preacher. He wasn't the deacon. He wasn't the Sunday school teacher. He risked his life for the people in the church. He was next door to death, calling the mortuary, calling the undertaker. That's how bad he was. Now look, and I may pull out my hanky on this one. Look at verse 27. Sick, nigh unto death. You see the next phrase? But God had mercy on him. You understand that there is still sickness in our day? And you understand that God still heals people. You understand that, right? Now, I'm not a faith healer, so if you come and say, hey, Pastor, will you lay hands on me and heal me? I don't have the touch. But I know the man who does have the touch. And look. He had mercy on him. So when you're sick, call your deacon. Call your Sunday school teacher. Hey, I need the Lord to show me some mercy. I need you people to pray. And here we believe in praying for the sick. And when you pray for the sick, God heals and God still heals today. Amen. And we got testimonies of people that God just miraculously, supernaturally heals. He had mercy on him. Look at this. And not on him only, but on me also. Now, we have the benefits of modern medicine, but let's not forget there's no medicine like God Almighty. And listen, if you get sick next Sunday, call your doctor and go see him. We believe in doctors and we believe in visiting doctors. We just also believe that he's not the final say. Get on your knees and talk to God. Get some people praying. Get the church praying. That's why you should go to Sunday school, why you should be in a discipleship group. Because when you get sick, people are going to pray for you. And healing comes through prayer. Amen? But don't miss this. Paul says, he had mercy on him that he didn't pass away. But not on him only, on me also. Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Here's what he's saying. I can't live without Epaphroditus. My life gets a whole lot more challenging if I don't have an Epaphroditus who's not only ministering to my needs, he's ministering to my wants. Now, what I'm certain, there are people in your life who do just that. They minister to your needs, but they go above and beyond and they minister to your wants. That was Epaphroditus. My mom, a couple of weeks ago, was in the hospital. And my mom is never sick. My mom goes 200 miles an hour from the second she gets up to the second she goes down. And she was in the hospital and pretty sick. So we had this conversation, the three kids, my brother and my sister. We're talking on the phone. And we was like, hey, Dad's doing pretty good right now. Dad can't live without Mom. Because Mom makes Dad walk the chalk line. Mom puts those pills in that little thing every day and makes Dad take his pills. Hey, if we got to have Mom. We love Mom. But Dad really has to have Mom because he cannot make it without her because he needs her cracking the whip and keeping him straight. In a sense, that's how dependent Paul was upon the Epaphroditus. Hey, Paul was the front guy. Paul was the show guy. Paul was the guy that stood in front of the people and taught and preached and did all of that. Epaphroditus wasn't. Epaphroditus was the servant who didn't want the spotlight, didn't want the show, didn't want to preach, didn't want to teach. He just wanted to serve. And Paul says, hey, God showed Epaphroditus mercy, but don't be confused. God showed me mercy by healing Epaphroditus. My question, who are you to that in their life? There's got to be somebody that you just don't meet their needs. You meet their wants. Just go above and beyond. I mean, we all should do it to our spouse. Amen, ladies? That was weak. Come on, ladies. Amen, ladies? Come on, guys. We should go above and beyond and pamper our wives. We should dote on our wives because they are God's gift to us. And we already know the women already do it for us. So that's why I'm not on them. But guys, we need to take care of them. But there should be more. There should be people that we just serve for Jesus' sake. Not just doing the minimum, going above and beyond. Hey, he did just minister to my needs. Valentine, little Debbie zebra cakes. He ministered to my wants. That was Epaphroditus. The compassion of Epaphroditus. Number three, and I'll be done. Notice the celebration of Epaphroditus. Look at verse 28. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice. Epaphroditus lived a life that calls others when they saw him coming. I don't know if they would grab a hanky and start waving it, or if they would run and hug him. But they love seeing Epaphroditus come. And that's what Paul says. When you see him, hey, you're going to rejoice. There's old brother Epap. Hey, he's the man. He's the servant. He's the one that you don't have to worry. He's going to wear his feelings on his sleeves. He's just there to encourage and love everybody. And everybody loved Epaphroditus. Notice he gives two qualities of him. And I'll be done. Look at verse 29. When he comes, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. Notice this. Hold in such high reputation. Say the words while you can say them. To your spouse, tell them you love them. Say the words to your kids while you have opportunity. Say them. Tell them. They're not going to be there very long. Tell them you love them. Tell them you appreciate them. Tell them. Tell them to the grandparents. Tell them to the aunts and uncles, if you got things that you need to make right, make it right now. He says, hold them in such high reputation. Hey, there are some people, and he's not saying the loudmouth person at the front, the behind-the-scenes person that just serves. Hold them in high recognition. We should be grateful people. We should be thankful people that just go around thanking the servants. And then he gives two characteristics of Epaphroditus. Look at verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. What Epaphras did, he worked for Jesus. Plain and simple, he was 100% all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we just sang, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, he's worthy to be praised and he's worthy to be served. And Epaphroditus, he just served Jesus. He belonged entirely to the Lord. His life was 100% devoted to Jesus. Jesus, are you pleased with me? Are you pleased with my behavior? Are you pleased with my language? Are you pleased with my activities? Are you pleased with what I'm doing? He wanted to please Jesus in everything he did. His devotion, and notice his danger, the last part of the verse. Nigh unto death. regarded not as life. Literally means he threw aside. It was a gambler's word in this time period. Rome had this group called the Parabellini. They were gamblers. They worked in the slums of Rome, and they worked with the sick. And they would say, that group of people, they go and they work with the sickest of the sick. And they are risking their very lives by helping and serving those people. Look, that's what Epaphroditus did. Now, you heard what I already said. Next Sunday, if you wake up and you were coughing and sneezing and throwing up, stay home. Take Alka-Seltzer. Take NyQuil. Epaphroditus, you couldn't stop him. He just served the Lord and served the Lord and served the Lord and served the Lord and served the Lord. Friend, listen. There's coming a time, and I believe it's going to be soon. We're going to be standing before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, where we are judged according to our works. It's not about whether we go to heaven. We're there. Everybody that's there is a believer. But it says some will suffer loss. And it says everything done with not the right intentions will be tried by fire, whether it be wood, hay, or stubble. And what's not done for Christ will be burned up. So can I encourage you this morning? Can I admonish you this morning? Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Serve Jesus. Serve Jesus at your job. Serve Jesus at your house. Serve Jesus in your neighborhood. And yeah, serve Jesus at your church. Let me give you two examples, and I'll be done. Remember John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, founder of the Wesleyan Church? John Wesley, I mean, he lived for the Lord Jesus. They say that he traveled 250,000 miles on horseback proclaiming Jesus. They said a typical day, Wesley averaged 20 miles a day on the back of the horse, and he did this for 40 years. Most of us have never ridden 5 miles on the back of a horse at one time. He averaged, typical day, 20 miles a day for 40 years. He preached 40,000 sermons, produced 400 books, knew 10 different languages that he could speak fluently. At 83, he was annoyed that he couldn't write, because he was writing commentaries, couldn't write more than 15 hours a day without his eyes bothering him. 15 hours a day. At 86, he was ashamed because he couldn't preach more than twice a day, 7 days a week. He had been used to doing 3 and 4 times a day, and he had to cut back at 86, and he could only do twice a day. He complained in his diary that there was an ever-increasing tendency at the age of 88 to stay in bed until 5:30 in the morning. You say, what was that man all about? The Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, he died on the cross, not just for somebody. He died for your sin and for my sin. The way you go to heaven, you say, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. And my sin is going to keep me out of heaven. I need a substitute, a perfect substitute. And Jesus, I believe you died on that cross in my place for my sin. I believe you were buried and that you rose again in Jesus. I'm going to commit to following you to the day I die. What this church needs, what this community needs, what your spouse needs, somebody that loves Jesus with all their heart and serves and serves and serves and loves and loves and loves. Story of John Wesley. Can I tell you a story a little bit closer to home? a month ago, I guess, we were having our weekend revival. And so we were having a service on Saturday night and services on Sunday. And supposed to have service over in the old building. And one of our guys called and says, "Hey, we got heat problems." I said, "What's the problem?" They said, "It ain't working." I was like, "Well, we need to fix it." So we had a group of guys literally come up here on Saturday and stay all day long on Saturday trying to fix our heater, and then stayed all day long on Sunday making sure that that building over there had heat. That's what I'm doing. None of them have ever preached a sermon. None of them don't get the accolades that they deserve. They didn't want them. They just came to work on a heater so that kids could go to Sunday school and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do everything that Epaphroditus did. He just served. What does your marriage need? What does your Sunday school class need? What does the church need? What does they need at the job? They need Jesus. And some Jesus-loving servants. Can I encourage you today to make a commitment to do just that?